Hello and welcome, eco-conscious viewers. In its November 1999 issue, Time magazine published a set of articles that presented what life might be like in the 21st century. It asked, will robots make house calls? Will we live on Mars? Will we still read paper books? In one of the articles, Ed Ayres, then editorial director of the World Watch Institute and author of God's Last Offer, Negotiating for a Sustainable Future, posed a startling question. Will we still eat meat?
Will we still eat meat? Maybe not if we wake up to what the mass production of animal flesh is doing to our health and the planet's, by Ed Ayres. When Julius Caesar made his triumphal entrance into Rome in 45 BC, he celebrated by giving a feast at which thousands of guests gorged on poultry, seafood, and game. Similar celebrations featuring exorbitant consumption of animal flesh have marked human victories in war, sport, politics, and commerce since our species learned to control fire. Throughout the developing world today, one of the first things people do as they climb out of poverty is to shift from their peasant diet of mainly grains and beans to one that is rich in pork or beef. Since 1950, per capita consumption of meat around the globe has more than doubled.
But in the coming century, that will change. Much as we have awakened to the full economic and social costs of cigarettes, we will find we can no longer subsidize or ignore the cost of mass producing cattle, poultry, pigs, sheep, and fish to feed our growing population. These costs include hugely inefficient use of fresh water and land, heavy pollution from livestock feces, rising rates of heart disease and other degenerative illnesses, and spreading destruction of the forests on which much of our planet's life depends.
The rest of the article described a wide range of problems caused by the meat industry, leading to a prophetic conclusion that the era of mass-produced animal flesh and its unsustainable costs to human and environmental health should be over before the next century is out. Could Time magazine's prediction be coming true? Is the era of meat eating almost over? What we do find is that in the media, the topic of meat's environmental impact has never gone away. In fact, more and more articles are discussing the link between meat and global warming in particular. By and large, the authors themselves are not vegetarians, at least not yet. Let's take a look at the following excerpt from the New York Times article by journalist Mark Bittman, printed in the World section on January 27, 2008.
A sea change in the consumption of a resource that Americans take for granted may be in store, something cheap, plentiful, widely enjoyed, and a part of daily life. And it isn't oil. It's meat. Growing meat, it's hard to use the word raising when applied to animals in factory farms, uses so many resources that it's a challenge to enumerate them all. But consider, an estimated 30% of the Earth's ice-free land is directly or indirectly involved in livestock production, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, which also estimates that livestock production generates nearly a fifth of the world's greenhouse gases, more than transportation.
The fact that the livestock industry generates more greenhouse gases than the entire global transportation system combined was revealed in a 2006 United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization's report. Titled Livestock's Long Shadow, the study became famous through its countless citation. It is the media that has played the valuable role of bringing such new scientific findings to the public's attention. Again, from the New York Times.
To put the energy-using demand of meat production into easy-to-understand terms, Gidon Eshel, a geophysicist at the Bard Center, and Pamela A. Martin, an assistant professor of geophysics at the University of Chicago, calculated that if Americans were to reduce meat consumption by just 20%, it would be as if we all switched from a standard sedan, a Camry, say, to the ultra-efficient Prius.
From Time magazine.
Given the amount of energy consumed, raising, shipping, and selling livestock, a 16-ounce T-bone is like a Hummer on a plate.
The same Time magazine that envisioned the 21st century in 1999 published the Global Warming Survival Guide in a special edition in 2007. Guideline number 22 of 51 advised everyone to skip the steak.
The Global Warming Survival Guide, What You Can Do. 22. Skip the Steak, by Brian Walsh. Which is responsible for more global warming, your BMW or your Big Mac? Believe it or not, it's the burger. If you switch to vegetarianism, you can shrink your carbon footprint by up to 1.5 tons of carbon dioxide a year, according to research by the University of Chicago. Trading a standard car for a hybrid cuts only about 1 ton and isn't as tasty.
When we return, we'll see how the media has helped raise awareness on the most urgent issue of our times, climate change. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to today's program on meat consumption and climate change in the media. In early 2009, a number of news agencies reported on a freshly released study by Dutch scientists called Climate Benefits of Changing Diet. One article presented the research as follows.
At the Copenhagen Climate Congress, Elke Steffest of the Netherlands Environmental Assessment Agency presented additional evidence that a vegetarian diet, or one at least that radically reduces meat consumption, can have massive climate change mitigation benefits. The gist of Steffest's presentation was that an area the size of Russia and Canada combined could be freed from use as pasture or cropland used to grow animal feed, if people switched from current levels of meat consumption common in Europe and the United States to a diet based on plant-based protein.
If this transition of dietary norms was started in 2010 and completed by 2030, and that pasture and cropland was allowed to regrow as forest, it would soak up such large amounts of CO2 that in combination with the resultant reduction of methane emissions due to the animals themselves, the cost of climate change mitigation would drop by 70% by 2050, as compared to a business as usual, or maybe diet as usual would be better, scenario.
The solution to global warming boils down to lifestyle changes. The media points out that the one lifestyle change we may otherwise overlook, our diet, is vital. Originally titled Greenhouse Hamburger, the article, How Meat Contributes to Global Warming, was printed in Scientific American on February 4, 2009. It explained how beef production has a surprising environmental cost of releasing massive volumes of greenhouse gases. The author, Dr. Nathan Fiala, ended his compelling case by offering the following solution.
What can be done? Improving waste management and farming practices would certainly reduce the carbon footprint of beef production. Methane capturing systems, for instance, can put cow's waste to use in generating electricity, but those systems remain too costly to be commercially viable. Individuals too can reduce the effects of food production on planetary climate. To some degree, after all, our diets are a choice. By choosing more wisely, we can make a difference. Eating locally produced food, for instance, can reduce the need for transport, though food inefficiently shipped in small batches on trucks from nearby farms can turn out to save surprisingly little in greenhouse emissions. And in the US and the rest of the developed world, people could eat less meat, particularly beef. The graphics on the following pages quantify the links between beef production and greenhouse gases in sobering detail.
The article, in its online form, is referring to a slideshow that demonstrates statistical information such as the driving mileage equivalent of raising plant versus animal foods. A bar graph showing plainly that livestock is among the top two causes of greenhouse gas emissions and the specific sources of emissions from beef production. The article then concludes,
"The take-home lesson is clear. We ought to give careful thought to diet and its consequences for the planet if we are serious about limiting the emissions of greenhouse gases."
Journalists have dug out the truth based on scientific research that reducing meat rather than reducing transportation would do more for the climate. The following is an excerpt from a report by CNN broadcast on March the 17th, 2008.
Food production responsible for much of greenhouse gas emissions. According to the FAO, the food and agricultural sector is responsible for more than one-third of global greenhouse gas emissions, with by far the most important aspect of that sector's environmental impact, it says, lying in the initial production process, not in transportation. Meat and methane. Climate killers? There is, of course, one other major source of greenhouse gas emissions in the food chain. Meat. Meat and dairy represent 50% of total food-related impacts, according to the Climate Action Programme. And in terms of the fossil fuel bill meat runs up, for that family of four who is using up 930 gallons of fossil fuel a year on food, 265 gallons of it goes towards putting meat on their table. Going vegetarian or vegan, therefore, is being increasingly suggested as one of the best ways to slash our carbon contributions.
While to most of us, animal farms are not something we see or even think of day to day, journalists remind us of their presence and the incredible hazards of pollution they are responsible for. As journalist Mark Bittman summed up in the New York Times,
"If price spikes don't change eating habits, perhaps the combination of deforestation, pollution, climate change, starvation, heart disease, and animal cruelty will gradually encourage the simple daily act of eating more plants and fewer animals."
When it comes to meat and the environment, the voices in the media are coming together in unison that we won't be able to save the planet without shifting to being vegetarian.
Jim Ottavalli is a senior writer for E, the environmental magazine, and a frequent contributor to Foreign Policy magazine and the New York Times. On Foreign Policy's internet site on June the 3rd, 2009, he gave a forecast for humankind.
In a way, it was an answer to Time's question posed one decade ago, will we still eat meat?
Meat, the slavery of our time. How the coming vegetarian revolution will arrive by force, by Jim Ottavalli. I have a prediction. Sooner than you might think, this will be a vegetarian world. Future generations will find the idea of eating meat both morally absurd and logistically impossible. Going by the numbers, eating meat is pretty hard to justify for the even moderately health conscious. A National Cancer Institute report released last March found that people who ate the most red meat were, as the New York Times put it, most likely to die from cancer, heart disease, and other causes. The biggest abstainers were least likely to die.
The environmental impact is also crystal clear and similarly appalling. By 2025, we simply won't have the resources to keep up the habit. The ethical issues will evolve too, in the way that slavery, once a broad social norm, later became an unthinkable crime. We can expect to see a similar shift once meat eating disappears from our planet. Perhaps someday the very idea of eating animal flesh will seem as remote as the idea of owning humans does now.
We salute all journalists and media groups who, through dedicated research, keen analysis, and ability to communicate about meat and climate change, are helping to save the planet. May you be blessed in your noble role. To our viewers, we thank you for joining us. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Words of Wisdom, coming up next after Noteworthy News. May you and your loved ones be safe and content in Heaven's care.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/EE.